Welcome to Small Bites Radio with Donato Marino and Derek Tim. We hope you're hungry.
Raw spaghetti you can eat with a spoon. Oh, SpaghettiOs.
Hit it.
Where's the beef?
Cookie.
Nothing for you! Nothing for you! Nothing for you!
Feed me more!
As long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans, babe.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and dogs, he's back! I'll bet you all thought you got rid of me, didn't you? Well, guess what? I'm here. I'm Glenn Gross. I'm the former co-host of Small Bites on Wildfire Radio. And to my left here is Donato.
Howdy.
And to my across of me is, what's his name?
Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. And why don't you introduce yourself, Don?
I'm Donato Marino at D&L Coffee Service, Bean the Barista Service.
Ooh, that sounds good. And one person that I really like that when we introduce him, let's see if I can get the introduction right, because it was wrong for over
two years.
is John Howard Fusco, the nightlife correspondent for the Courier Post, and he also runs a blog that is quite popular. It was recognized by the New York Times. I believe it's called eatinginsj.com or something like that. That's what Google's for. You can get close, and then Google gives you the rest. Isn't that right, John?
That's pretty much right, yep.
What's up, John? You miss me?
Hey, good to hear you, Glenn.
Yeah,
how you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Good. Doing all right.
Glad to hear it.
Got a lot of news here for the week here, so let me just run through it so you guys can get on your merry way. First, I want to mention that the Notorious Lee, owner of Hop Stain Laundromat, is going to be opening a Von Mee shop somewhere in the city. This is according to Philly Mag and Eater Philly, but the name, location, and menu is all shrouded in secrecy, so we'll have to find out what's going to happen with that. Philly Mag is also reporting that the dual owners of Southwark and Umbra, this will be Chris D'Ambro and Marina De Oliveira, are planning two new restaurants at 5th and Bainbridge Streets for a springtime opening. One will be a casual restaurant and bar, and the other will be a wood-fired pizza place. So look for a springtime opening for those places. Unit Sous Veg is a new vegetarian Chinese restaurant that is opened on Hamilton Street, right near the Philadelphia Museum of Art, and this is according to Eater Philly. Bait and Switch Seafood Bar in Port Richmond is closing on January 20th. This is according to multiple sources. But there's a new restaurant concept that'll be in the works. That'll be moving into that location. We'll have to look to see about that. Our own Philly Grub posted that on January 17th, South Philly Barbacoa and Christmas Jazz Cafe will be co-hosting a tacos and tequila dinner, raising funds to help support undocumented workers. Tickets are $10, and that's for the live band. And the food itself is pay as you can, so it's whatever you can give. Again, that's to help money to raise money for undocumented workers. Don't forget that today is the day of starting of Tennessee District Restaurant Week, which will run into January 25th. There are over 125 restaurants that are participating this year. And then quickly over on the Jersey side, congrats to Taste of Soul in Burlington, which has opened just yesterday. So all these articles and more will be posted later tonight on my blog and shared on Twitter at Eating S Jersey, and as always, hashtag Small Bites Radio.
And also, you forgot the news of that extremely popular and wonderful blog. Aren't you doing something called Three Bites or Three Nibbles, something like that?
Yeah, something I just started this year with the Eating S Jersey blog. I'm doing something every Friday called Three Nibbles, where I do focus on three restaurants. Just to give a brief explanation of my recent experience. They're not full reviews. They're just a short little nibble. Focusing on certain areas or certain styles of food. I just did one on this past Friday on two locations in Toms River, which is more and more expanding its eating options. So, a little place for halal meat, a little place for tacos, a little place for hot dogs. So it's just just give you a little more sense of South Jersey and what's going on.
It was really just an excuse to go out to eat more. Tell Lisa, listen, I really wanted to eat home tonight, but
got to get
those three nibbles in for the week.
I'll
talk to you later. Well, John, thank you very much. It was great hearing from you, and it's going to be a wait and see for our next show, because our next show is currently scheduled for Super Bowl Sunday, but we shall wait and see to see who is in the Super Bowl. So we'll keep you posted, or just watch the game, John.
There you go. Sounds good.
Have a great night.
Take care.
Well, I'll tell you what else that you can wait and see is, you ever have trouble and have a relative or a friend that doesn't live close that you really want to give them a nice gift, and the usual suspects just aren't cutting it?
No.
Ever have that problem, Don?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
You?
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, I've had that problem many times.
I don't have any friends. So
well, you got to get some. And once you do, then we have the perfect place for you to go, Glenn.
Where would that be?
That would be Bloom Bays. And we have the CEO and founder, Denise, on with us to talk about this wonderful company that she founded. How's it going there, Denise?
I'm well. How are you doing?
We are doing great. So Bloom Bays is a unique chocolate store that's based in Hickory, North Carolina. But why don't you tell us a little bit about your business?
Well, thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate you at the time. Well, Bloom Bays was really sparked by a quest for sort of long-distance gift-giving. As you can see, it sounds like I'm not from America. I'm actually from South Africa. And so it was very important for me to send a thoughtful gift to my family at Christmas or anniversaries or celebrations of important birthdays. And I scoured the internet for unique gifts, and I've always been very disappointed in flowers that got sent that just didn't look like the pictures online. And a friend of mine had a promotion at work, and I wanted to send her something really special, and I couldn't find anything. And being a little bit crafty, I decided, well, wouldn't it be wonderful for me to send chocolates, but in a bouquet? And that's what I did. And I created this chocolate bouquet. I think the first one was probably not very, very good. I was still sort of trying and testing and trying to perfect it. And about a year down the track, I got some more orders from friends that saw it, and friends of friends. And soon I was in the chocolate bouquet business. So that's how it started.
That's wonderful, and I love how you're from South Africa. Are you close? I visited Bloemfontein, I believe. It's close to Joburg.
Oh, Bloemfontein. Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
See, we have
something in common.
I have a friend who lives out there. He invited me many years ago. Peter Ruthven does RU Ruicon Construction, which I don't know if you're familiar with Ruicon Construction.
No.
And spend an entire month down in South Africa, and you have a beautiful home country there.
I love the accent, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm from America, Glenn.
Not
thank
yours.
You. Oh, I love, I love South Africa. I miss the food. I love American food, but South African food has a unique taste to it, and I just absolutely miss that. But hey, I sometimes try. I'm not sure if you ever tried biltong or some of the they call it dried vorst from South Africa. It's extremely yummy. It's almost like the American jerky.
Yeah, I did have that. That was fantastic. But I love how you created this company that you could send unique gifts to them, because that is always a struggle of mine with international friends, is it's not easy to come up with a good idea to send them something, because not everyone ships internationally. So you, even though if you have the greatest idea, that company may not ship internationally, and then you have to get it sent to you, and then you personally would have to send it to them. Where now with you just running your own business, that's great. Now, what would you say that you opened your actual store in December of 2017? That had to be filled with challenges.
Oh, it was. And I this is the first time I had a retail store ever been in my own business. So I'm a software project manager. So I have no idea about being in a retail environment. So it had a lot of challenges, but the Hickory, North Carolina community accepted me really well. They have some really great programs through their Chamber of Commerce. And I just felt like they assisted me tremendously. So we have only a 500 square foot store. It's really tiny, but it's filled with chocolate bouquets. And we also have a 8-foot chocolate truffle table filled with about 35 different chocolate truffles as well. We make up our bouquets in the store and we ship them out. I'll tell you a little bit about the chocolate bouquets in the sense of what your selections may be. You can select your bouquet and then go on to choose whether you want a milk chocolate bouquet, a dark chocolate bouquet, because a lot of people love dark chocolate. And then we also have a dessert chocolate bouquet and another fruit chocolate bouquet. Now, the fruit chocolate bouquet has flavors like blueberry and cranberry and strawberry. So you can enjoy that chocolate bouquet and not feel that guilty because you actually are having a little bit of fruit inside the chocolate.
So, healthy chocolate.
So they actually they are extremely popular, but the most popular one would be the dessert chocolate bouquet because you have flavors like creme brulee and mocha latte, and I think we throw in some coconut chocolate truffles as well. And I'm sorry, my mouth keeps on watering when I talk about my chocolate truffles because they're so yummy and
ours is too.
And the response has just been so positive. But even with all of the positive responses and the critically acclaimed responses that you've received, there has been some difficulties, but you've overcome them. What are the biggest challenges faced by women in entrepreneurial roles?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I feel like, I feel like a woman always feel like they're just not good enough, especially I always worked in a corporate environment, and you had to work really, really hard to compete, and even being a foreigner, it was a constant a challenge every single day to make sure you always put your best foot forward, always give 110%. And so being a woman in business has also had its challenges in the sense of setting up close relationships with a larger vendors or smaller vendors. And a lot of people, I must say that a lot of people have taken me more seriously because I had a brick and mortar store versus just an online store. So that has actually had a lot of benefits. But I've chosen my vendors extremely carefully, and those that wanted to work with me as a startup, I've been very, very loyal to them, and just gone that extra mile to let them know that we appreciate them. And once we release a new bouquet into the marketplace, I ensure I send all my vendors and clients images and newsletters to get them excited about where Bloombays is at. Our brand is totally a beautiful brand in the sense of empowering women, regardless of gender. And we just feel like it is a very encompassing brand. And because we take gift care things extremely seriously. We want to make sure that when we send a bouquet to anybody, regardless if they're having a good day or a bad day, whether it's a sympathy gift or a gift just because, or a gift to say thank you, we want to make sure that when you open that bouquet, that you can actually feel that love, to know that it was made with love, and we've taken the time to make something really, really very special.
Well, it definitely shows.
I went a bit off topic.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely shows, and the one thing that I really like about the product is that even when you're done eating these delicious chocolates, you have a beautiful piece that you can keep because the petals are made out of wood, and it's a very decorative, nice bucket that they send. So
didn't you guys get to eat some?
We did. They were fantastic, and we were lucky enough to get one. And we want to thank you so much for joining us. And we'll see if I'm able to get this correct. Well, I was going to try up. I think we lost it. I had a South African phrase, but my computer has actually played games with me, and it's now left for some reason. But why don't you give us your social media websites or anything like that before you go?
Sure. You guys can reach me at www.bloombays.com. We're also on Facebook at called Bloombays, and our Instagram is also called Bloombays. And if you want to email me directly, if you have something very special to send and you want something maybe custom, you can feel free to email me at hello@bloombays.com. And our 1-800 number is 1-877 my bloom, so that's very easy to remember. So if you've got something that you want to send with love, especially this Valentine's Day, or I know you guys are always in trouble with your wives, feel free to email me. I'm sure my bloom bay will make it right.
It definitely will, and we have it, but I'm sure I'll mess it up. Let's see if I get it correct. Hamba Kashel, it's supposedly. That is go well and goodbye in South African.
Oh, bye, oh. Donkey.
Bilingual.
Bye, donkey. Bye, donkey.
have a great night.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey. Well, so Don, how's it feel to be in the second seat here now?
It's a
you know you got big shoes to fill, right?
That's definitely do. Definitely do.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm glad to see you back in the studio.
Yeah, it feels good.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of missed it. And I
can't believe you're wearing shorts, though.
Why not?
I'm cold just looking at you.
Well, I can understand that. No, seriously, for years, I wear shorts in the winter most of the time.
Yeah.
It's from being in the hot kitchen all the time. You know, it's working around the smokers and so on and so forth.
So you're seasoned.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
The shorts don't bother me. Sometimes a T-shirt does, though, once in a while when it's cold. You know?
Well, make sure you keep the T-shirt on, please.
Well, I have to. You don't want to see this here.
No.
Yeah. But so what's going on with Don?
Right now we're working a few projects, trying to keep the company growing in a positive direction. So far we've gotten nothing but praise from our customers for, you know, helping them out, opening a business to tweaking their formulas they use for their coffee recipes. So it's been exciting, and I'm really happy it's going in that direction.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That I sold the stores and so on.
Yeah,
so
I heard.
We're getting ready to open. I actually have several things going on, but we're going to open in Williamstown,
nice.
The way it looks right now. it's on Black Horse Pike, and it's in the former James Way Shopping Center. So I want to talk to you about a little cafe kind of espresso kind of setup, and I know you'll guide me through that.
Yeah, cafe with, you're still going to go with the barbecue?
I think so, yeah. And the reason is, everybody knows who Fat Jack's is. Whether it's good and they like us, it doesn't matter. It's still, we've been around for 27, 28 years. People know who we are. Mm-hmm. So I think that, plus I have a sign that I can use that I don't spend any money for.
That always helps.
So people know who we are, and I think I want to keep it. But we're next to a gym, and we're next to a radio control race car center and a rock climbing place. So I'm going to keep the basics of barbecue, but I'm going to put some wraps in, some salads, a little bit of lighter fare.
A little lighter for the gym people.
Yeah, I think so. We always opened up with salads in all the restaurants. However, we never saw, and our salads are great. Yeah. I mean, they're big. I had a smokehouse salad, brisket, pork, chicken, eggs, cheese. I mean, loaded. You know, and it's, you know, I think I got $7 or $8 for it. I don't remember offhand. But they never sold. For whatever reason. I guess people aren't coming to a barbecue place and thinking, oh, I got to get some salad.
Yeah, no.
You know? So if I buy a case of salad mix for, you know, on a Monday, you know, and there's 4 bags in the case, you know, on Friday I've got 3 bags left.
Yeah, that's not
good. You know, it just, you know, at $20 a case, it's not, you know, it's not, it wasn't financially prudent, so we stopped the salads. So,
well, the barbecue stuff that you make, what do you think is your best? The ribs, the chicken?
Well, honestly,
I'm sure it's tough to choose because everything you make is spot on.
Well, they're all my babies. Yeah. You know that. You know, and I coddle each one of them. I would say, honestly, brisket is probably the best, followed by ribs, and pork and chicken. You know, people for whatever reason go, you know, really just go wild for our brisket and burn ends. We do burn ends. Not a lot of people do burn ends, but they love it.
Do the burn ends have a lot of flavor to
them? Yeah. Well, what happens with burn ends is we take the. I went years ago to these big nose-on briskets, the 18, 17, 16-pound briskets, and I take the nose off and the deckle meat off, which is the big end of the brisket, after it's smoked, and we smoke that for another 10 or 11 hours. To make the burn ends.
Oh.
And they're awesome. I mean, they really are. They're great.
Yeah, the first time I made brisket, my wife got me a smoker, mm-hmm. electric smoker. Mm-hmm. Wasn't the one we add the wood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Electric smoker, and you put a little bit of wood in there, moisten this,
right.
Create some of the smoke. I think it took me 12 hours to make the brisket. I think before the brisket was done, I've had a few many wines. And the brisket turned out okay, but it was dry. So I think I over either too high temperature.
Well, you probably did either too high temperature and too long.
Yeah.
You know, did you spray it as you're doing and moisten it or not really?
No.
Well, there you go.
No. See, I put the dry rub on.
Mm-hmm.
I put it in the smoker and just let it go.
Yeah. On a small, like, electric smoker, you got to moisten. With the big smokers, I don't spray or moisten or do anything. When I compete, I do.
Yeah.
But the smaller smokers, because they're so small and compact, you got to spray it with some apple juice or whatever.
Okay.
You know. Okay. Or in your case, coffee.
Coffee. Coffee's good.
Espresso. Yeah. You know.
Well, I kept opening the door. And my wife said, you can't keep opening that door.
No, you can't. She was right.
Yeah. So, the temperature has to be steady.
Yeah, it has to be steady.
It was steady.
So your wife does know more than you.
She does.
Good.
Isn't that the case?
I know.
That's why she married me.
You know, I don't blame her. I mean, Christ. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at him. I mean, he's just a monster of a man.
You can say Adonis.
I don't.
He's the Don.
Yeah, okay, he's Adonis.
He's the Don. That's why he puts his hand out and you have to kiss the finger whenever you come in studio.
Is that what it is? So,
well, but talking about in studio is someone who is very familiar with broadcasting studios, and we are thrilled that she is calling in to join us on this night that the Eagles are playing, and that would be Marilyn Russell, the legendary radio host at 98.1 WOGL, and she also is the host of the wildly successful podcast Eat, Drink, and Be Marilyn. How's it going tonight, Marilyn?
What's up, guys?
Hi, honey. How are you doing?
Marilyn, how are you?
Eating and drinking my way through this Eagles game, which is not going so well.
No,
right,
it's not going so well. But we have Saint Nick at the helm. Yeah. It's not the first time that this has happened. So,
what's the score?
The score is 17-14, Glenn. Okay. It's not out of hand yet.
No. Let us pray.
Yes, but
so let us pray to Saint Nick.
Exactly. But it was a pleasure meeting you. Me and Don saw you up at the Shanty on 19th with the extraordinary Chef Gordon Ramsay, and I have to say, after watching the episode, there's a lot of work that goes into these television shows. What was your thought after watching the episode of 24 Hours to Hell and Back of Shanty on 19th?
It was great. You guys got a lot of solid airtime because you ordered the burger.
Well,
all about the burger.
And it's sort of weird because with a face like this, which is meant for radio, yeah, I mean, it's you would have thought that they would have been at your table the entire time. So I don't know how that happened that I got so much airtime.
Really an honor to do it. He's a really fantastic guy. You know, he's such a pussycat in real life.
He is.
He comes
That's
up
what
with
I heard.
This angry, crazy chef, but he's so sweet. And at one point, he did come over to me and he said, "Hey, Marilyn, congrats on Eat, Drink, Be Marilyn." And I turned 50 shades of red. I was like blushing. It was really sweet. I was really hoping that was going to make the show. But if you blink, you missed me. You could see me take a bite of my scallop, and that was it.
Well, if you blink, you missed me too, because I wasn't there.
You were in the background. I saw you walking down the street.
Is that what you did?
We waved to you.
Oh, you did.
But
Derek, thank you so much for capturing that picture where Gordon and I are having a conversation, because that's sort of my only proof.
Name dropper.
That we were indeed talking.
Yes, indeed. But yeah, that was really fun, and to actually watch it on television, how it all played out, that was very entertaining. But you, as Gordon said, are very well known for the Extremely podcast, Eat, Drink, and Be Marilyn. What was the thought process of going, because you are already on the radio on WOGL from 5:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Marilyn Russell in the morning. Why did you want to be on the microphone talking even more? What was the thought process of doing that?
Well, this is actually, my second podcast. The Remarkable Woman is another show that I do that does air and is also podcasted on Radio 1. The food thing is really, for me, it's a passion project. I don't cook. I'm a terrible cook. I dine out for a hobby. So the fact that, you know, I can now bring in chefs and be wowed by them and all the stories that they share is really exciting to me. And, of course, the new finds and Philadelphia. I mean, this city is just rife with fantastic food options. And so I just thought this would be something I could have a lot of fun with. And I know I don't need five jobs. I feel like I work so much. But the food is my new passion project. So that's why I started it. Do you think I'm oversaturated?
Oh, yeah. Never, never.
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 Isn't it past your bedtime, by the way?
It is. Oh, I am in my PJs.
Oh,
but,
good.
Thanks for sharing. I'm watching the game. I'm reaching for another slice of Luigi's because I'm so stressed out. I'm actually at my neighbor's, and we're all watching this game together. Should I have everybody say hello on your podcast?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Oh, and
we're all sort of just glued. Here.
Speaking of Eat, Drink, and Be Marilyn, it's Glenn Marilyn, by the way. You and I have done.
Hi.
How you doing? You and I have done a few of those.
Glenn, good to talk to you.
Yeah, I know. You never call. You never write. I mean, come on.
She's calling right now, Glenn.
But every time I get a chance, you know, to have some of that barbecue, I'm all in.
I know. Oh, I know that. But seriously, with the Eat, Drink, and Be Marilyn, she does a great job. I've done probably two or three of them with her, and they're great. I mean, she's just natural and great, and it's fun. And
well, I mean, you've had such a storied career. You're known on the airwaves of Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
Everyone in Philadelphia knows your voice. What would you say is the next chapter of terrestrial radio? As you know, we started as a podcast. Now we're syndicated on a couple AM stations and all of the other internet sort of radio stations. What do you see the next step of terrestrial radio? Of course, they have the HD channels, I think they call them, where you can have an HD tuner and you can have multiple stations. That sort of picked up for a little while, but I haven't heard much of that lately. But the majority of people have a regular radio in their car. So it's just as popular as it always has been. But a lot of people will tell you, nobody's listening. Well, somebody has
to be listening.
Because I would say that the advertisers are getting the just as much for their buck, if not more, because of social medias and things like that. I'll see Marilyn on social media promoting guests that come on, and I personally think it's a greater spread that you have compared to previously. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, podcasting and social media definitely flatters and accompanies terrestrial radio really well. Terrestrial radio is alive and well. When I tell you at 98.1 WOTL we are sold out, it's the God's honest truth. As long as people are commuting to and from work, you're going to have that radio station in your car and it's going to stay strong. So I think that's where we're able to connect. But obviously, in this day and age, you've got to share all of your material across many social platforms. And listen, I'm hardly the demo, but I just took to social immediately. I'm the kind of person who likes to stay busy, so I love being across a lot of platforms. The reason, though, you know, there are rules, obviously, with, you know, corporate radio. And so the podcast, I feel like it's where I can be a little loose, have a little more fun, and let my hair down a little bit. But I think it complements what I do on the morning show. At least I hope it does. You know, it's like everything else. You put stuff out there, you only hope that people will embrace it. And you're blessed if they do. But I think that the mics work together really, really well. And kudos to, you know, what you guys are doing. I mean, believe me, I respect and admire all the people that are doing these fantastic podcasts now. You know, I think we say, come on, you know, join the fun. But it's challenging. You know, we have the luxury of being very, very established. And people, clients know what they're getting. They know they're getting the best and, you know, the experience behind it and that people are in their cars and they're listening. So I'm not worried so much about radio. What's next in the tech world? Well, I got no clue, but I hope I'm a part of it.
I just think with these self-driving cars, I mean, you might actually have a headset and be able to see the radio host in their studio while Google's driving you somewhere. I mean, the sky's the limit with technology, it seems these days. But we don't want to hold you up any longer. We definitely appreciate you calling in, especially on an Eagles night.
Yep.
Thank you so much for joining us. It was such a pleasure hanging out with you and Chef Gordon Ramsay at the Shanty on 19th with the 24 hours to hell and back. And listen Monday through Friday, 98.1 WOGL, Marilyn Russell in the morning.
And Derek, thanks so much.
Hey, no problem. You are the best. I love
Take
you.
Care, Marilyn.
Have a great night.
Do we need an Eagles chant? Or
yeah, go ahead. Eagles.
Yeah, get your group. Get your
to
shut up,
victory.
Eric. No. Who sings that? Whoever does, let them sing it, okay? Go ahead. Give us an Eagles cheer before you go.
You can find the pep band performed for us on Friday, and you can find it at WOGL FM on the Facebook page if you want to get a little Eagles love going on there. We'll take it.
Cool. Hey, kiddo, seriously, I love you to death. I appreciate your calling in, and I'm telling you, I love you. I really do. And Kevin said
Thank
hi,
you.
Too.
Good night, you guys.
Take
good
care.
Night, Marilyn. Take care.
Bye, Kevin. Good night. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Say that. I love her.
That's just nice.
Have you ever met her?
I met her up in
Allentown. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're up
here. 19th. She's very nice, very personable person.
Kevin and I have known her for forever. And she's gracious and caring and just, you know.
Just for the few minutes that I met her, seems like I've known her my whole life. Her personality was so.
She is absolutely that way.
Yeah.
And what you see when you talk to her is what you get. She's not, you know. Picture the DJs from past. Hey, hey, come over here and do it. It's all BS.
Yeah.
She's real. I'm telling you.
I listen to her in the morning when I can get up that early.
I mean, I've been on a show a bunch of times, and advertising on OGL with her really worked for us. You know, and I'm telling you.
She's at the right time slot.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, driving absolutely. In the morning, you pick the station that you want to listen to, and that's the one you're going to listen to all the way home. And if you enjoy it, you can do a lot of advertising.
She is absolutely wonderful. She really is. So tell me something. I know you and I were talking a little while ago about cafes.
Cafes.
Yeah. Now, like I said, with the advent of the Fat Jackson Williamstown, probably Fat Jackson Williamstown, and a new concept that we have called Slappies. And
Slappies?
Yeah, Slappies, burgers, wings, shakes, and things.
Came in at the wrong time, Derek.
Yeah, he did. No, I didn't say so. And my landlord in Philly wants us to take a couple of restaurants that he has and turn into fried chicken restaurants.
Oh.
So, you know, my comment to you, we were talking, Derek suggested it. Cafe, Wi-Fi, explain.
Well, a lot of people...
Well, we're going to explain first of Chef Heather Williams of the wildly successful Hell's Kitchen Rookies versus All-Stars. How's it going there tonight, Chef Heather?
Awfully quiet.
Awfully. Yeah.
Wow.
Well.
She's probably watching the Eagles game.
She could be.
Yeah.
Lots of people are watching the game.
Okay.
But, okay, Don.
Okay, so
let's
we'll hear, get her back.
Let's hear your response.
For the cafes?
Yeah, tell Wi-Fi, whatever it is. Tell.
It seems like a lot of people today, to get work done, they're working off their computers. They don't have to go physically into the work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking for a place that they can feel comfortable. Nobody's looking over their shoulder. Mm-hmm. And a cafe is a perfect niche for it. So they go there, they get a nice cup of coffee, cappuccino, latte, whatever your beverage of choice, a little something to eat, a wrap or croissant or brioche, and they sit down and they do their work and they drink their coffee and, you know, they sit there with the Wi-Fi and they get everything done that they need to and they socialize. It's the new, you know, instead of going to a bar and loud, noisy, and you can't do nothing. That's a perfect place to meet people.
That's pretty cool.
Well, another perfect place to meet people is we're going to hop over to Mike. And hopefully I pronounced this one correctly.
He's going to get it wrong.
Mike Trout, Drexel University Center for Food.
You got it right.
Look at that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Drexel University Center for Food and Hospitality Management Program Director. And get this. Sunday, March 10th and Monday, March 11th, they're holding the wildly successful and always sold out Philly Chef Conference again this year, returning to University City, drawing top level culinary and hospitality talent from around the world to come to Philadelphia.
Can you and I go, Derek?
You can buy tickets. Tell them, Mike, when can you buy tickets?
Tickets go on sale this Wednesday at noon for various programming that we have affiliated with the Philly Chef Conference.
There you go. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the Philly Chef Conference?
Well, this is our sixth year running the conference, and it's one of those things where we like to bring in top names in Philadelphia, but also top names internationally to Philadelphia for 2 days of lectures, demonstrations, tastings, panels as a tool, you know, to really engage our students, but also to, you know, give back to our, you know, local restaurant community and really get them involved and get all the major people together in one room for, you know, 2 days of education.
Yeah, I mean, and I see the lineup here, and my goodness gracious, from around the world is an understatement. Spain, Denmark, Texas.
Wow.
Don't forget Italy.
Australia. I mean, the only place I didn't
Australia,
see was Antarctica. Couldn't fly in a penguin for some purpose.
The flights are a little too costly.
But this is one of Philly's best events food wise, and I have to say that it is a joy to go, and the tickets sell out. Normally, what, the day of, correct?
Yeah, it's out within the first 2 days, and, you know, especially as it's grown in the past, you know, 6 years and being able to, you know, attract these international names to come to Philadelphia, it really just kind of gets the crowd going, gets them out there to buy tickets early.
Now, you being the program director, is this also a chance to fly in a couple of your favorite chefs that you always wanted to just try some of their delectable delights? Just...
loaded question.
You know what? It's different than I think a lot of the other conferences where, like, I get these chefs to come into Philadelphia, but it's not so much of them putting out food. I think that's what really excites them. It's to hear their thoughts and their ideas. I mean, I would love to try all their foods. I'd love to try, you know, Ben Shuri's food from Melbourne, Australia. But, you know, to get him to come and sit is a lot easier to get him to come and cook. Because a lot of times when you get these international chefs, they travel with their whole team.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, and as you said, it's a lot easier for them to share what they're doing, because a lot of it's sort of a break for them in a sense, because they don't have to break their back and go through the whole prep process and everything like that.
I think that you should have a couple of local guys like Donato and I. On the panel?
They do, Glenn. They have many local
more
people.
More local guys.
Oh.
You up for it, Glenn?
Real local. I'm up for it.
I'll put you guys on the list for next year.
You're on the waiting list.
Okay.
It's just like a deli. Take a ticket and wait in line. But can you name a couple of the lectures or workshops that you're going to have this year?
Yeah, you know, we're going to, you know, have... various things. So we'll have things with, you know, a take on modern food journalism. So getting some of the top, you know, food reporters in the United States, whether it be Julia Kramer, who's, you know, deputy editor of Bon Appetit, Tim Corman, who writes for the Washington Post, you know, all to sit down and talk about, you know, what's going on in food journalism in the world. On day one, we have a panels on, you know, how restaurants or, you know, how chefs are looking to seek balance in their life and balance. So we're getting, you know, Kim Severson from the New York Times to sit and moderate a panel. We have a local Michael Solomonoff on that panel, but we also have California chef Reema Seal and Kat Kimsman, who's really big in the whole idea of restaurants really adopting wellness in the kitchen.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic.
It's huge.
It's huge. And to have all of those culinary geniuses and minds in one place is a chance of an opportunity of a lifetime for anyone who's looking to get into the food and hospitality industry, or someone who's just a spectator.
Or a foodie.
And that's why it sells out. And we here at Small Bites are thrilled that you called in. Mike Trout, Drexel University Center for Food and Hospitality Management Program Director. And Drexel University has a top-of-the-line program, and they should thank you on a daily basis for being able to pull off such a wonderful event. Thank you so much for calling
in. It's a great event. All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, from one wonderful culinary event to another, we're going to try it again. Chef Heather Williams, I think we scared her a little bit at first.
When we aggressively
announced her. She said, oh, geez, I got enough of Ramsay yelling at me on the television show. I don't need to deal with this mess. But
trust me, you guys are fine.
But Chef Heather, thank you so much for calling in. And we have to congratulate you for how wonderful you are doing in season 18 of Hell's Kitchen, of rookies versus veterans. And you are really showing the reason why you were a runner-up in season 16. So tell us a little bit about your experience of coming back. Did you ever think that you'd get that phone call of them saying, hey, you want to come back?
I think I was at the grocery store when I got the phone call from production, and they said, you know, Chef Ramsay was, you know, like, do you have another chance to come back? And, you know, at first I thought it was one of those scams, because, you know, you never hear of Hell's Kitchen doing, like, they never have any kind of, like, redemption seasons. They never bring anybody back unless you're, like, a guest judge or a sous chef. So I'm just thinking to myself, okay, I'm just going to play along with it. And then when I got the flight out to go do all of our, you know, background checks and stuff that we need to do, I'm like, okay, maybe this is real. And then I sat down and got to talk to production and, you know, just go over like my previous season, and then just talk about like, you know, what I would expect coming into season 18. And I said, oh, same I expected in 16. You don't know, because, you know, Chef Ramsay has anything up his sleeve. And when you think, you know, you really don't. You can never predict what that man's going to do. So it was really good to get that call back. And it made me feel like a sense of accomplishment, and that I left a lasting impression on him, that it made him want me back.
Yeah. Now, would you say that the current season, obviously we know this was taped 6 months to close to a year ago, so it's bringing back memories when you're watching it on television. But would you say that the current season, season 18, was more difficult, or was it easier going back? Because me personally, I would have to say it's more difficult because
you've got more to prove.
Yeah, you've got more to prove, and also you sort of know what was going on. Where sometimes you're a deer in a headlight, but that works well because you don't have to think about what you did previously.
Exactly. I'd rather be the deer in a headlight because when you didn't know and you had the blinders on, it was easier to go through Hell's Kitchen. When you kind of knew what to expect, but you still didn't know, you had the anxiety of not knowing, but you were trying to figure it out so bad that you were driving yourself crazy.
Well,
I wish I didn't know anything.
Let me ask you a question. Now, I personally, I think it might be a little easier because you kind of, you sort of know what Gordon's like. Mm-hmm. But I know it's, I know it's
that's the only upper hand that you have.
Right, but you don't know what he's going to do. Okay, but you know what he's like. And anything can come at you at any time. And you know how demanding he is. Did that make it easier for you or a little more difficult for you?
In the beginning, I think it was easier for us as veterans. But until we saw what the rookies really were about and we knew that their background and who groomed them and, you know, what chefs trained them. I mean, you're talking like cream of the crop chefs. Mm-hmm. And if I could have half of, you know, the resume that they do, I mean, you know, I have Gordon Ramsay on mine, but I mean, they have, you know, Thomas Keller, Jose Andreas, they have everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it was very, you know, it was a little
intimidating,
scary.
Yeah.
Just because, it was intimidating. Yeah. And, you know, we were on Hell's Kitchen before, but this is fine dining. This is a different level of the playing field.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were doing plating that, you know, I hadn't experienced yet. You know, I don't deconstruct everything and I don't try to deconstruct everything. Some things are better left whole.
Now,
that's what we learned last Friday.
Now, this season, though, I would like to know the relationship that you have with your son, because your son was a little younger the first go around, so he may have not connected seeing mom on TV and didn't understand the dynamic.
Right.
Now he's a little bit older. Do you enjoy that dynamic of being able to watch the show together, or are there certain points where you just feel like grabbing his eyes and ears and cover like, no, don't look?
I mean, now that he's older, it's nice because, you know, he does understand that he was on TV before and he remembers a lot of it. So that's kind of cool to always have that and always like talk about it and share that with him. But, now like my son's 7 years old currently, and he was 3 when I did the first filming.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's been over 4 years now and, you know, he kind of grew up with me being on the show and going through a lot of, you know, hard times with people, you know, ruining my name on social media and, you know, coming after me and coming after him. And there's some things that I hope that he'll never have to see and Google when he like Googles my name, but you know, I can't protect him from everything,
especially in
and,
this
you know,
day and
it's
age.
Like the whole Andrew situation. Yeah. Like the whole Andrew situation, you know, kind of had me upset because it was taken out of context and things were cut and things and
for entertainment purposes.
I'm a little better about that. Yeah. But, correct. And I understand that. But it's like at the end of the day, I hope my son never has to see what or remember what I went through on social media.
Yeah. I mean that's the part that when,
that's the hard part.
Yeah, you wish that they could see the unedited version instead of the entertainment aspect. And that's the difficult part when you agree to things like this show. But
and listen, I get it. I know there's I know there's ratings. I know there's everything behind it. But when people are that narrow-minded and they really think that every aspect shown on a TV show is somebody's actual character, and you try to defend yourself and you try to explain yourself, the more that they will demolish your character and they will demolish every ounce of your being.
Yeah, without. Yeah,
and absolutely. Then when they brought my son into it, I was just like, you know what? I'm done with the fan sites for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I took myself off of them until probably about a month ago because I wasn't doing it. I wasn't going to be the punching bag.
Exactly. But it makes you come back a little bit stronger and you know what to expect this go around.
Right.
But what would you.
And that was one thing I told the rookies like when they left. I said, you know, just social media, just take it with a grain of salt.
Exactly.
So they're people, they're words, don't let it get to you like I did.
Now, obviously, you have been very successful in this season, but there was a preview of possibly some drama coming up this week that involved you of a serious burn. That's all they could say, because obviously they can't spoil what's going to happen. I guess the only thing that I'll ask you, because you can't tell us what will happen beforehand, is, are you okay?
Correct.
Are you okay?
I mean, it does. Yeah, I'm okay.
All right.
For the time being.
Okay. All right. So you haven't been scarred for life. We're not talking about an issue.
I still have all my fingers, my fingertips. I have everything. We're still okay.
Perfect. Well, we wish you the best of luck in this season. We know that the Black Jackets are coming, and I will be going out to the Hell's Kitchen restaurant in Vegas in April, and I certainly hope
I'm excited
to see you there. So I will cross my fingers.
You never know, so hopefully.
Exactly. We don't know yet. I think you know. We don't know. We don't know. But
a couple more weeks, then we'll find out.
Then everybody will know. But congratulations. We wish you the best of luck and
good
have
luck.
A great night.
Yeah, congratulations. Thank you so much.
Take care. Wow, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah,
that was very cool.
Yeah,
it really was.
It's such a fun show to watch.
It's nice to be called back.
Yeah.
I mean, you're that talented.
Do you know what? She mentioned the Andrew situation. Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't.
I haven't been able to watch Hell's Kitchen probably the last year or so. I just haven't had time. And I'd like to. Do you know what happened with the Andrew situation? And she mentioned it.
It was in season 16. Mm-hmm. They sort of edited it together that her and another contestant got a little friendly. Other contestant, I believe, either had a very serious girlfriend, fiance, or wife. Mm-hmm. So, as you
rumors.
Know. Exactly.
Well, then it's for entertainment purposes and drama and so on and so forth.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The show, as with anything, when we were on 24 Hours to Hell and Back, when me, Don, and John Dorenzo were there, as you know, they literally recorded probably a half hour to an hour worth of stuff. Probably more than that. And do you know what got on air, Glenn?
Mm. Not me.
I'll take the crispy chicken wings.
That was you?
That was me.
I didn't see it. I forgot to I was at Dorothy's house. I forgot to record it.
But that's the nature of the beast.
Well,
on any.
Well, it's when I was on Pitmasters on Barbecue, the same thing happened. Lots of camera time, but they edited, a week's worth of camera time to 43 or 44 minutes.
Exactly.
That's the way it is.
And you have no control. You're at the mercy.
Yeah, whatever they want to put on.
Well, it's funny because my partner Ed didn't like the way it was being directed, so he took over directing. They let him do it for a little while. It was funny.
And talking about your buddy Ed, I actually was at Lumpy's last week and had the barbecue combo number 2, which was wings, ribs, pulled pork, and I think it was like 2 or 3 sides.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
Yeah, he does a good job.
Yeah.
I taught him almost everything I know. So not everything, but almost everything.
But he's running a pretty good...
It's different. I mean, look at my situation where he pays $1,600 a month in rent. I'm paying $5,000-$7,000 a month. You can make a lot more money doing that. He does a good job with the food, and people in South Jersey know who he is, and he does a good job.
Yeah.
For the most part. Now he does a good
Glenn job. Glenn struggles to give.
I know. A little compliment.
He's not listening.
So,
how do you know he's not listening?
Because he's probably watching the Eagles game. Do you know the score by chance?
The score is not in our favor currently.
How bad?
20-14 with 7 minutes left, and we do not have the ball currently.
Oh.
But we do have someone on the phone which we haven't to talk to in a very long time.
Who would that be?
That would be a Hell's Kitchen alum.
Oh.
Chef Barbie Marshall.
Hey, Barbie.
How's it going there?
Hey, Barbie. How are you?
Hello there.
I'm doing all right.
We are happy to hear from you after a long Asia break that we haven't heard anything about. And
sure, we're going to hear it now.
Well, I mean, she's got a lot going on. She's watching the Eagles as well,
sure,
as everyone is in Philadelphia. But why don't you tell us what's going on, Chef Barbie?
Well, what's going on right now? Who's that? Somebody's down. Who's that? I'm watching the game, which is why I missed the show last week. Sorry. And the Saints have the ball. But, yes, I was in Asia for the month of November into December. I loved it. Absolutely adored my time there. I just probably need to come in studio so I can talk about that trip because it was so long. I went to Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, and Shanghai, China. So it wasn't like one place. It was a lot of places.
That's my dream trip, really.
North Vietnam, South Vietnam. So it was just really, 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 really a fantastic trip. I brought in the new year a little slightly injured. I had to have emergency surgery. Not because of my trip, but because I had surgery before I left and just had a setback from it. But I'm doing good now. One of the things that I wanted to talk about last week was I feel like everybody should make a conscious effort to not double book their reservations. It's something that happens at small restaurants. Usually starts at the beginning of the year and just goes through. It's just a bad consumer habit of, you know what, we'll just make reservations at one or two places and then, you know, they cancel. So a lot of small restaurant businesses now have, if you booked with the reservation and you cancel in an untimely manner, they'll charge you. And, you know, I just kind of wanted to answer for some people why that happens. And it's primarily because, you know, by the time you go through answering all these questions and doing the work of actually making the reservation and everything else that has to be done, it's time, and you still have to pay for that time. So, you know, make your plans and commit to them. Any small business will understand a bona fide emergency, but you'd be surprised how many New Year's Eve dinner plans get canceled because, oh, we're feeling under the weather.
Well, that,
it's not
that,
the first time the restaurant has heard it.
That's the, one of the things I like. I know a lot of restaurants don't like to use it because they have to take a little portion of money for each reservation is Open Table.
Mm-hmm.
And Open Table also has the option of the restaurateur to set it up that they can request a credit card,
right,
when you try to make that reservation. This way, as you said, some funny business is going on and all of a sudden you say you can't make it. Well, don't be surprised to get a charge on,
right,
your credit card.
Sure.
And also with Open Table.
Well, you know what? I'm thinking more along the lines of the people who, after they go through Resy or Open Table, then decide, oh, you know what? I want to go to the other place. They then email or call the restaurant and say, oh, I want to cancel my reservation because I don't feel well. Do I still have to pay the cancellation charge? Actually, at that point, yeah, you do. Especially if we're going back and forth in email and you're costing me time. Like, that's why, because, you know, you already, when you booked that reservation and you gave that credit card, you were aware that you were going to have to pay should you cancel that reservation.
That's, I agree wholeheartedly.
It's not fair to then call the restaurant and be like, well, I don't want to pay to cancel.
Yeah. I mean, you knew what it was
before
it came on. A very valid point to start 2019.
Absolutely.
That's why we missed you so much,
yeah,
Chef Barbie. It's tips
gone too long.
You too.
It's tips like this, but
the insight.
Thank you so much for calling in. The time is getting down to the nitty gritty. There's only 4 minutes left, so we'll hope for the best for the Eagles. We were at this situation again last week,
and they pulled it off.
So we'll hope.
Different team.
All right. Well, we're tossing Saints around the field right now, so I got to roll.
All right. Have a great night, Chef Barbie.
See you later, Barbie.
All right, talk to you in 2 weeks.
See ya.
So that was good
fun
to hear from her.
Did you enjoy that, Don?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
So,
I always like Barbie.
Yeah.
I love
how about
Barbie.
The whole show?
You the whole just show is great.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, the guy next,
the guy next to you. Well, let me explain something. The real reason I'm here, I just dropped Eric's phone. The real reason I'm here is to give Don a report card.
Uh-oh.
On his first broadcast. So, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. He has a beat. You can listen to him. You can dance to him. And he has a velvety, dulcet tone. So I give him an A.
There you go.
Hey, he's nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
What about my report card? It's better than what I got when I went to school.
Yeah, well, I was with you for 2 years. So, you know. But, no, Derek, you hey, just keep it number one, buddy.
Well, that
I'm
was
a, around if you need me. So.
That was a fun show.
Yes, it was. Glenn Gross of Fat Jack's Barbecue. New Fat Jack's coming up. Some new concepts.
Smacky, Smackers,
Slappy.
Yeah, Slappies.
Is the tentative name.
That is Donato Marino with D&L Coffee Service, Bean and Barista Service. You contact us on Facebook at D&L Coffee Service. Thank you.
There you go. Derek Pitt of BlueJeanFood.com. We had Denise, the CEO of Bloombay's, John Howard Fusco, Chef Heather Williams, the current season 18 of Hell's Kitchen. That was fun. Marilyn Russell, always a pleasure to talk to her. 98.1 WOGL and podcast Eat, Drink, and Be Marilyn. Mike Trout, Drexel University Center for Food and Hospitality Management. He's the program director. Chef Barbie Marshall, who we haven't heard from in a while. And this is Small Bites. We're live on Sunday, 6:35 p.m. on wildfireradio.com. Catch us the following day on your Apple products on iTunes. We're syndicated in multiple locations of where you can find us. Our next show may be February 3rd, Super Bowl Sunday, if the Eagles do, in fact, lose.
We'll see in about 3 or 4 minutes.
And we end the show like we always do with a joke of the week from the legendary joke teller, Jackie the Joke Man Martlin.
Hi, I'm Jackie Martling, and this is Small Bites. The teacher says, all right, John, what do you want to do when you get older? Johnny says, when I get older, I want to get really rich. I want to have a lot of stuff. I want to get my own plane, have a whore, and go around the world having fun. The teacher's like, whoa. Okay. Mary, what do you want to do when you get older? She says, I want to be Johnny's whore.